I'm Eric. My name is Roman. I'm from Holland. I want to thank you for the meeting, and Andy, thank you for. Oh, that's a good start. I was still on mute. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm Eric. My name is Roman.
Hi,
guys. I'm indeed from Holland. I'm very grateful to be here in your meeting. Andy, thank you for inviting me. I must say it's always a bit scary, you know. And I'm not that good of a speaker, and my head tells me it needs to be perfect and I don't need to miss stuff, but you know, that's basically the disease you know, ruining my day, running my day. So I I don't know how you normally do with in your meeting when you have somebody that speaks. I'm personally, I like it to also read from the literature first. And this is the book that I use for my recovery mainly. That's a gray book. And I was wondering, asking if it's okay to read out to you guys step two from this book.
Yes.
Is that okay? It will take, I think, about 5 minutes maybe.
Yes. Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, thank you. The book I read from, it's the how do you say, it's like the raw input and review version of what later became the basic text. And there's a lot of you know, grammar errors and tradition violations also in it, but the language and the way it is written really you know, speaks to my core, and it's it made a very powerful impact on my recovery. So it starts on page 34, it says, step two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. We have a disease, progressive, incurable, and terminal. The most amazing single fact about the disease is that we went out and bought it on a time plan. That is insane. Think about that. You, me, everybody we meet in NA, the junkie snatching purses on the street, and the sweet lady hitting two or three doctors for their perfectly legal prescriptions. All of us, all of us have this thing in common. We buy the disease that kills us. And one way or another, we usually pay for it. A bag at a time, a few pills at a time, a bottle at a time, until we die. That is at least a part of the insanity of addiction. The price may seem higher for the girl who prostitutes herself for a fix than it is for the woman who merely lies to her doctor. But ultimately, both pay with their lives. Ask yourself this question. Do I believe it would be insane to walk up to somebody and say, would you please sell me my own death on a time plan? Or maybe, or may I please have a heart attack or a fatal accident? If you can agree that this would be an insane thing comparable to giving yourself an injection of deadly poison, only slower, you should have no trouble with the second step. The second step is the most important thing that must happen for us to achieve any sort of ongoing recovery. The first step leaves us where we need to come to believe in something that can help us with our powerlessness and sense of helplessness. Belief became the most important thing for us to work on. We have some type of belief, and unless we examine it and seek to improve it, it may be insufficient to give us recovery. Certainly, our belief didn't help us when our didn't help us with our active addiction. We now have a workable idea of a higher power. You may be one of those who say, I need help with my drug problem, and I can see that NA has that all right. But the second step says, this power greater than ourselves will restore us to sanity, and I'm not crazy. I just can't handle drugs. Many of us started out with that attitude. Our first instinct is to say, no way. But when we approach it with an open mind and talk and listen to others, we begin to see evidence of some power that cannot be fully explained. Confronted with this, most of us will at least admit to the possibility of a greater power. Eventually, we will come to some kind of personal understanding we can use. Belief is the beginning. It is helpful to stop at this point to review our thinking in this respect. We should not take the chance that our understanding of a power greater than ourselves is sufficient. The power can be the group itself, or it can follow a religious tradition. The only thing we want to emphasize is that you should feel comfortable with your higher power and be able to make the statement that your power cares about you. If you can accept that the fact that a large number of addicts like yourself have found a way in the program of Narcotics Anonymous to live clean, then you only have to believe what you see in order to experience step two. NA has many members, and this collective spiritual power is certainly greater than that of any individual member. What is impossible for one alone is often like light work for many, because the many are a greater power than the one alone. You don't have to be religious to accept the idea of a power greater than yourself. Just look around with an open mind, and you will see a positive power all around in NA. You can call it love, or harmony, or peace, or cleanness, or good, or you can call it God. It doesn't matter. And by looking and listening as openly as you can, you find that NA has the power to help addicts. The higher power we use in NA is a lot like this. We begin by simply admitting the possibility of a power greater than ourselves. From the very beginning, we discover that the power in our lives and the power lives in the fellowship. We had no trouble admitting that addiction had become a destructive power greater than ourselves. It logically follows that there can also be a constructive power greater than ourselves. Almost there, one more page. When the drugs are washed from our body through daily abstinence and our mind begin to clear from the effects of a miracle take place. Many fortunate things occur mysteriously, but there are no accidents. We come to understand that our recoveries are a gift of a power greater than ourselves. There is a spirit that is guiding all living things. Call it higher power or whatever you like. If you choose, call it nothing at all. But find it and learn to benefit from its power. You will gain a new life, free from drugs and the pain they have caused. We have begun to see only recently how much higher power has to offer. Clean living is only the beginning of a new life. Life without fear is a gift we receive for the price of acceptance. We gradually begin to find our order in the universe and accept that some power was supplying us with a conscience we never had before and was somehow given us the power to overcome the compulsion to use. It certainly wasn't us, individually. Many of us have come to believe that the force of life knows what our real needs are and will take care of us when undisturbed by self-will. We learn to keep a watchful eye on our daily health's maintenance. We eat when hungry, we talk with recovering addicts when angry or lonely, we rest when tired, and we begin to take ourselves seriously, we go to an NA meeting and share. Sanity is having our priorities in order. We don't use drugs, we go to meetings, and through the NA program we learn to rely on God to provide what we need on a daily basis. We have been restored to sanity as far as the obsession to use is concerned. The important thing to remember as the urge to use occurs is that it's just because the mind is asking for drugs doesn't mean the body is. We are so into denial and over-controlling our emotions that the occasional thought of drugs may be the only way our mind knows to get our attention. The mind signals drugs when the body may actually be asking for vitamins, food, rest or companionship, so we need to daily halt maintenance. Most addicts have strong feelings about their higher power and vigorously defend the right to their own understanding of a higher power. The strength to move into action comes from our higher power. Asking for help in specific terms usually precedes getting that help. By opening the gate of our hearts, we become ready to receive the help we need. We need to accept this step to start our road to recovery. When our belief has grown to some point of comfort, we are ready for step three. Thank you guys for letting me share this. It took away some time, yeah, so there's less time for me to screw it up. I don't want to go into my history of using. It's I did a lot of drugs for a very long time and I was quite successful in it, but there came a point, you know, that the pain with living with drugs and without drugs was getting unbearable, basically. I didn't get high no more in a sense that it made me happy or it gave me joy or pleasure. You know, it was what got me out of bed, and it was the thing that got me into bed at night, you know, and in between it was on blurry haze. There's a lot of things going on apart from the part, you know, when you do drugs and you're, like step one says, powerless over drugs. It's not that drugs, you know, fly in my nose or, you know, hit me in the back of my neck. It's, you know, I do these things. The powerless for me, with the disease of addiction is the compulsion and the obsession to use, you know, that part. Once I start doing drugs, there's no stopping. And, you know, also on days that I tell myself I'm not going to use, I always ended up using, you know, and I would run off. I'll say, oh, I'll do, just do a little bit. And then I'll run to the ATM machine maybe five times that night, you know, and doing it from early morning to early till I got to bed. And that was basically what the book describes as a part of the insanity. But it goes further than that. You know, the disease is manifest in all areas of life, even, and maybe especially now, you know, after doing a step one, and there's this void where you surrender the use of chemicals, where you surrender drugs in any form, you know, the total abstinence part. And for me, it's not just street drugs and you know, alcohol and these things. It's also over the counter drugs and prescribed drugs, you know, for the mental part, you know, how to cope with life, the depression, the fear, the anger, all these things, you know. And this to not live without drugs and to never use drugs again, you know, that part really scares me. And having done a real step one, this void, you know, and how do you say, the initial surrender that drugs won't fix me and that there is no longer a chemical solution for this spiritual problem, it sort of puts you on a stand where you have to choose. Either go on, like the reading card says, with jails, institutions and death, you know, pure on willpower, either using or not using, it doesn't matter, because the pain of living will get crazy, you know, the insanity will take over, or find a spiritual solution. And before, in my early time in NA, I used to work also steps with a sponsor and had the flat step working guide with all the questions. And I sort of looked at it as like school class, you know. I just answer all these questions and write, and then go on. The thing is, I did lose the obsession to use also with doing the serenity prayer and everything. But I went past the whole step two part, you know, the coming to believe really into a higher power. And back then, I used to listen to a lot of the speaker tapes I had also from different fellowships with. Today it's only NA what I do, but in the beginning I thought it was a good idea to go to, like, I don't know, 2-3 different fellowships and be a visitor everywhere and, you know, cherry pick what I liked everywhere. That didn't really help me. I did stay clean, but I got, you know, basically I got sicker and sicker over time. And so now I do this traditional way of NA. Also with a traditional step writing guide. And a big part of the step writing guide is basically doing daily inventory. And step two talks about daily inventory as well, you know, especially in the part where you go and open your mind that there might be a power greater than yourself, you know, out there, and looking for evidence that there is this power surrounding, well, in this case, me, myself. And I had some proof of a power, you know, greater than myself. It's in some meetings I come where there's a certain vibe or a certain energy. I really get calm and relaxed when tuning in there. There is also, for me, of course, that the obsession to use is lifted, and it has been gone for a long time, which I never thought was possible. And I really, really, you know, what's the word? Sometimes it's a bit difficult, the talking in English. I really think that came by doing the serenity prayer, basically as some kind of a mantra, you know. I would get up in the morning, would do that prayer, and then every time I got goofy in the head or I had the obsession to use, I would do that prayer. But it goes much further, and the longer I'm in NA, and especially with my current sponsor I have now, He makes me write on stuff like the serenity prayer and see the bigger picture also in that prayer, you know, that the first line is basically step one, the second line, you know, coming to restore to sanity and the courage, you know, and put action in. That is basically step two. And then step three, the wisdom, when you really surrender your life to the will of, you know, greater power. You know, that's not my wisdom that I ask for. I ask for a bigger wisdom, something from you know, above or beyond, or something that works through others. For me, this whole step two thing, the thing I struggled with in the beginning a lot was my old thinking and my old ideas and certain dogma. The word God itself had a really gave me a really nasty taste in the mouth, so to say, because I had all these ideas, you know, about religion and spirituality and la na 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 na, and they were not helping. I tried before, you know, different ways to find spirituality. I like to read a lot and do different kinds, but nothing really solid. It was always, you know, somebody else's experience, which I would like to feed on and never create my own experience, never really open myself up, like the book says, you know, open your heart up to this power greater than yourself. And for me now, this opening has been made, you know, by people in the fellowship. For me, big proof that there is a God working in the fellowship, apart from the obsession of you know, was lifted. It's also the way the literature talks to me, you know, that's, you know, and also proof of God for me, because how can a bunch of addicts write such a book, you know, and that book, it has so much experience, strength and hope in it. It blows my mind sometimes, you know. Every time I read it, new things pop up. And that's actually, oh, there's some people walking by the car now. They look a bit funny. But also, when I'm stuck in my head and or at random moments during the day, when I open up the book and I just read a random page or a certain paragraph, it strikes me how many times it's exactly the thing I need to hear or need to read on that particular moment. Also, how God works through others in the fellowship, especially once I got really connected to what I call now my home group. As I was saying before, I was more like a visitor, and I would, you know, make a lot of laughs and drink coffee and, you know, make funny jokes and shit like that. But I never was really honest to people. It took a long way to get these masks going, and I still have a lot of facade going on. I still don't like it when people see me, you know, like what I would say, weak or vulnerable or all these things, you know. It's all, I want to keep it to myself, but if I keep stuff to myself, that is basically what the disease wants, you know. It singles me out again. So the restoration to sanity is it's apart from the part where we surrender the drugs. It's also to surrender the fear and all the crazy obsessive thoughts that may arise on any kind of you know, situation, or you know, it may be for me, it's things like money, or sometimes sex or relations, or in gambling I have it with food. You know, it's all these escapes or coping strategies I have to go along with life, you know, and make my life manageable, which I can't, you know. I admitted that in step one, that I am powerless. So I need a power greater than myself to fix me, a spiritual power. It cannot be a person, you know. It says, because this power needs to be loving and caring, and no person is loving and caring all the time. That's what my sponsor always tells me, you know. But to open up to a sponsor and giving into his guidance and following suggestions and all that, that's also a big part of the surrender, in practical sense, you know, and not trying to run it all myself, which is hard, because you know, as a person, you know, as an addict, maybe all addicts have this, right? Very huge self-will, and we always have the best ideas and we always know what's best, but basically all our ideas is what, you know, made us come to NA in the end, right? All these plans, all these schemes, in the end they all fail. and the life on life terms thing is really hard, and that's really where this whole higher power stuff comes into place. Like when we surrender the drugs, this void, it forces us to find either this belief in a higher power, a greater power, or a God, or whatever one chooses, or, you know, doom and gloom will follow, and we get madder even if we don't use, because the disease is progressive. And these are things that I how do I say, that I practice on a daily basis, you know, the writing, the reading, the contact with a sponsor, also with sponsees. And every now and then I go off the rocker and I basically need to surrender more and deeper. And sometimes it just needs another fight, you know, because I'm very thick skinned and I think this time I got it, or, you know, all these crazy things. But then I walk around in circles again like a headless chicken. And everybody sees that I'm in pain and that I'm hurting and hating and basically, you know, ruining my life and ruining the lives of others around me. But then the denial is so thick, the disease is so strong that I truly need others also, you know, to say, hey, stop, man. Do you see what you are doing? You know, it's the same destructiveness again. And it's the disease just coming up, you know, in other forms and places in my life. I have huge issues with anger, basically. And for me, anger is also maybe kind of using, you know, because it, as a person, I was always angry at everything, fighting everything, you know, and that gave a lot of pain. And but that's what I do, fighting. So surrender is, it was a total new concept at first as well. And then the surrender to a higher power and the possibility for a higher power. You know, sometimes I talk with people I know, and then it scares me. You know, in one way I start to be like a spiritual fit person and believe all the la 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 stuff, and on the other hand I still sometimes have this battle, like, oh, Ramon, you know, basically with this whole spirituality thing, maybe you're doing the same as you did with drugs, you know, trying to fix yourself, fix your reality. And and then again, it is the fear that creeps in. And so my surrender daily to the program again, and also the part with the halt's maintenance, the book explained, is very important. You know, I've my whole life I have issues with sleeping, something simple like sleeping or eating, you know. Oh, we eat when we're hungry. I sometimes eat, you know, just for the eating bit, because I have this, you know, feeling that I want, you know, I want to change it, and I do it with a lot of eating, or if I don't eat at all, you know. And this is all wicked, man, how this disease works, and it's so destructive. I have been since in NA, I've been clean now since 16th of June 2012, and recently, for a year ago, I got through some issues at work, and not really applying principles, changes in my housing situation, got a daughter, and, you know, had to find my balance again in life, and had troubles with that. I got into trouble at my work, and through this I got into the regular treatment industry again, not addiction treatment, but mental health stuff. So I had a lot of testing, personality testing, and of course there came you know, a shitload of stuff out, which I knew I had, and they gave it labels like they do in the healthcare. But basically it all comes back into what the disease of addiction is, and it's different names, but it has been kind of an uphill battle lately by standing on the principle of total abstinence, you know, to tell my family, but especially, you know, my employer and the doctors there, that I can't do any chemicals, you know, also not the ones on prescription, because that's what they do. Oh, you feel depressed, here, have something. Oh, you sleep bad, here, have something. Oh, you get this HD, blah, blah, DDD stuff, here, you have something else. And then it's like, wow, man, it's hard. And then it's, for me, it's very important to have people around me that live this program and that have adopted the program and show me that it's possible, you know, that God and the program is the solution, you know. No other chemicals, nothing can replace this. And and that is, like I said, it's difficult. You know, the whole part with total abstinence is a bit difficult today in NA. You know, some people are easy to enable me, and they say, well, it's very legit if you take something because a doctor says you can, right? But the book is very clear, and that's why I like the gray book a lot. It's also in the basic text, you know, that sometimes medication is, of course, an option for if you have, like, physical pain. But for all the symptoms of the disease in any form, either it's the depression or the fear or the mood swings or the anger, you know, that is the stuff that we feel when we stop using drugs. So, and I have to push on, you know, and have to believe that I can be restored to sanity. And it's daily program that restores me. And this restoration, I'm far from completely be restored. I understand this, you know, and it's a process, but I have changed. I don't have to pick fights all the time. I don't have to argue and have discussion all the time. I do it sometimes, but I mostly pick my battles. I don't have to go around and tell all the people how to work their program no more. I got more laid back with that. I understand there's differences. I can see better, you know, that everybody is in a place where he needs to be at that certain point in time. And I have basically more patience and tolerance, but it doesn't come natural to me. It's like a constant. I have to work it in order for it to work. You know, the disease isn't arrested. We get one daily, you know, reprieve from this. And so I'm very glad. I think I touched all the things I wanted to touch in my share. It might be a bit like this, but that's how my head sometimes goes. I want to thank you for having me at your meeting, and to the lady that came back and recommitted. I hope you stay, and you know, I want to wish you all a good 24.